The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and fucks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
The Good Beer Bad Movie Night Podcast.
Welcome to episode 67 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, a podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. A very happy holiday to all of our listener. Thank you so much for tuning in again for another episode.
I'm just laughing because I'm thinking, who is our listener when half of our listenership is sitting in here with us?
For sure, my buddy Andy Hovest has messaged us a couple of times. He's like, I'm your listener. You realize that, don't you?
Oh, nice. It's really nice. Hi, Andy. Hi. We actually found out at Thanksgiving that my cousin Greg is also a listener.
No kidding.
He's listened to a few. He told Troy, I don't know exactly what they were talking about, but I heard them say something about it, and he'd like, I saw him gesture at me and then like start laughing. I was like,
Kathleen is the spice of this podcast.
So, hi, Greg.
Greg and Andy, thank you for your inexplicable loyalty.
And I'm not sure if
clearly they don't have anything else to do.
If the overlords are still listening to us after I demanded an apology from whoever who demanded an apology from me for crapping on Spawn or whatever that movie
they are,
was.
They are not happy. Our evil overlords are not happy with us in this Spawn, but Spawn deserved it. So we stand by our ratings on that dumpster fire.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's talk about this dumpster fire for a hot second. Tonight's feature presentation from, depending upon your source, 2017, 2018, depending upon which... Who's telling the truth or not?
Side of the pond, you're on.
Right. I was going to say, I would assume that 2017 is the official. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it just didn't.
The official release.
It just
didn't
migrate over here to America for another year.
Right. So 2017. This is Anna and the Apocalypse, a surprisingly bad movie.
Is it, though? Is it surprising?
So anyway, as we go along here, we're going to start this 6-minute synopsis. That'll be Kathleen's job this week because this is, in fact, your fault. After she summarizes the film, we are going to take a quick break, come back, and try our first beverage of the evening. I'm excited. I don't know what any of these are.
I have a plan.
Excellent.
Yay, plans.
So we'll talk about the movie after the beer tasting, and then we'll break for another beer or beverage or maybe
kind of. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
It's Christmas. I've decided to throw caution to the wind.
It's
and
a thing. So
it's going to be different than
for the ride,
normal,
folks. This should be interesting. Of course, after that second beverage, maybe we'll wrap this all up with our 6-pack rating, where we'll let you know just how drunk you need to be to enjoy this film. My name is Pete. Today is not my fault. That would belong to Kathleen.
Hello.
Hello, Kathleen. Thanks for this.
You're welcome.
And due to Kathleen being in charge this month, she has invited the girls back over. Hello, girls.
Hey. Hi, Pete.
Hi, everybody.
Hey. I'm very happy you didn't bring the duct tape. And
I was going to say, it's not like we tied you up this year. I left the flamingo hat at home.
I'll tie him up later.
Who is with us today? I see there's a Jody sighting way over there. Hi, Jody.
Hi, everybody.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Donna is here, too.
Hello.
And Mary, Kate.
Katie.
I was going to say, wait, is Ashley here too?
You know, we did get our start on Full House. And it feels full circle since CCB is, you know, such scum in the Christmas movie community now.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me Mary Kate. It's fine. It's not my name, but, you know, whatever.
The rest of us, Troy's here. Hey, Troy.
Hi.
Oh, boy. And, of course, Dave, too. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
Happy holiday. Anyway, so movie.
Yes.
It is a holiday film.
It is a holiday film.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it falls into the proper category. And,
it does.
And you picked it.
I
is
did.
There a reason you picked it? Is just because it's
It's a spite film.
You're doing this to spite me. Mm-hmm.
So
for
I know.
Which film this year are you spiting me?
Yes.
There are many.
Yes, exactly. No. You know, we have traditionally done a Hallmark or Lifetime type of movie for the last few years. And
my favorite was Single Santa Seeking Mrs. Claus.
Honestly, it was our absolute best. Like I feel like we've tried to recapture that magic a few times. Mm-hmm. And because these movies are complete and total garbage, sorry, Katie, we haven't been able to do it.
I liked recording them all way more than I liked watching them.
Oh, well, I mean, hi, welcome to the podcast. My name is Kathleen. I need a shirt that says that. Like, I like recording the podcast, not watching the fucking
movie. I feel like there's
so
many Hallmark, Lifetime, and now Hulu and every other streaming service has so many of these movies. I wonder if we could recapture that magic. We just barely scratched the surface because there are so many now. It's crazy how many there are.
Okay, I nominate Donna to watch them to figure out which ones would be good.
Oh, no, I'm not going
to
watch all of them. I mean, I'll just ask Katie which one to watch.
Yeah. I've already watched them, so.
Exactly. Why would I do
I'm
the research?
I'm happy to vet those for
right.
you.
Okay. Yes. There you go. I could get behind that for sure. I just don't feel like, I feel like they're repetitive. Which we've talked about before, and I feel like if the movie
you made
is
a bingo
if
card
the
one year.
I did, I feel like if the movies are repetitive, then so are the jokes, and so that's why I've tried to find something different each time. I started actually thinking early and was like, okay, is there a holiday movie that would be in the vein of something that the boys would pick? And the first one that I found was some robot alien Santa something.
Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Yes, that.
No, we can't do that one. Yeah.
And,
that's Mr. Right, Science Theater already.
Right. Again, this is not my genre. And then I thought, well, we could just do like full on, you know, Hallmark. But I don't know. I just wasn't feeling it. And then I found this one. And I was like, oh, this one could actually even maybe be a little bit enjoyable. And then when I saw that it was a musical, I thought, Pete hates musicals. Oh, this is
it's not my favorite genre, I
yeah,
suppose.
Yeah, it's also not your, you know, yeah.
Right.
It's not my go-to, for sure.
Yeah. So that's why I picked it.
Okay, well, so. Anna and the Apocalypse. Glurp, glurp.
Yep.
I learned how to spell apocalypse, by the way, this
oh, that's good.
Taking all the notes.
That's really funny.
So Kathleen's going to do the 6-minute synopsis where she takes 6 minutes to summarize the film. If she goes over by 30 minutes or under
30 minutes?
30 minutes.
Wow.
Oh, 30 minutes. Oh,
I
goodness.
Definitely will
excuse,
not have to say 30
me,
minutes.
I said that wrong.
I know that.
A whole bunch of people just tuned out. It's like, hell no.
They're like, no, we're not
listening
to that
over
bitch for
under
30
by 30
minutes.
Seconds, she has to sing us a holiday tune.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to sing a holiday tune. Go. Dear listener, this movie has a little something for everyone. For Jody, it is a musical. For Katie, there's a Taylor Swift reference. For Donna, it's a supernatural high school drama love story. It is a zombie movie, which Troy loves. It has multiple blood fountains. You're welcome, Pete.
Thank you.
And a bowling alley named Thunderballs. Hat tip for you, Dave. This movie is ridiculous. It has a cliffhanger of a non-ending ending, which normally I don't love. But it also has more of a coherent storyline, empathetic characters with depth who are more interesting than the whole of the Hallmark Christmas movie catalog. Not to mention the piles of crap we watch for this podcast. So you're welcome, dear listener. Tonight's recording is a true first for me. I picked this movie as a bit of a revenge flick directed at the boys. Pete specifically dislikes movie musicals, but I also chose it because it's supposed to be bad. That being said, I have an announcement to make. Quick, hold on to your butts, find your smelling salts and fainting couches. I actually like this movie. I mean, I really liked it. I know, surprised me too. Need proof? Due to holiday scheduling chaos, I watched this movie on my own. And when Troy went to watch it later, I almost watched it again. If it hadn't literally been the same day, I might have. I may add it into my Christmas movie rotation. Is it an Oscar-worthy film? No, I did say it was a zombie movie after all, with blood fountains and angsty teens. But for a movie with a neon sign stating Thunderballs in it, it really is kind of adorable. Again, you know, for a zombie movie. It is based on a BAFTA-nominated short called Zombie Musical, so I do know something of which I speak. Plus, this movie passes the Bechdel test. So now that you've regained consciousness from your dead faint at my announcement, I'm going to tell you to hit pause on this episode, head over to Tubi, and watch this movie for free. Hopefully your cringe commercials don't include the horrendous real-life zombie nightmare of a person Kris Jenner like mine did. Ugh. I'm disappointed in you, Shutterfly. And then come back to us and listen to these chuckleheads either argue that I'm wrong about this movie, proving once again their questionable taste in films, or be even more pleasantly surprised to hear that they agree with me, even if it is only out of fear. I mean, I did bring my mannequin leg with me. To fulfill the requirement of the 6-minute synopsis, I will finish with this. I said ooh 10 times, give or take. The movie takes place in Scotland. We meet the main characters whose names are clearly stated. They are Anna John, Tony Steph, Mr. Savage, Lisa Kris, and a real prick named Nick. John loves Anna, but he is her BFF only now and forever. Anna likes Nick, but hates herself for it. I mean, he's not great, guys. He grosses himself out when he calls himself a sexy child. Real winner, Anna. Tony is Anna's dad and her mom is dead, which she gets rudely reminded of twice in this movie. Steph is an American transplant and her parents are trash. Lisa and Kris love each other and they love and adore Kris's grand too. Mr. Savage acts like every micromanaging, power-hungry, small-pricked boss anyone has ever had, and you'll cheer when he gets the gold star he so rightly deserves. It is Christmas time. There is a show with a sexy Santa song that gives Santa Baby a run for its money. Some notable zombie moments include death by teeter-totter or seesaw. We can discuss the entomology on that one later. Death by public toilet seat lid. Death by two bowling balls smashed to the head. Decapitation by a pin setter. And a ball return head zombie that is still trying to bite. Along with many, many, many more. Weapons of interest, the previously mentioned teeter-totter seesaw, toilet lid, bowling balls, pin setter, and stage props, along with baseball bat, cricket bat, knives, a burger flipper, fishing poles, video game controller, a large yard art-sized candy cane with a point, a mannequin leg, and watermelons. Song list is 12 songs. A couple of my favorites are Hollywood Ending, The Fish Rap, Human Voice, and I Will Believe. There are some great sight gags in relation to the movie musical obliviousness. There is also some LOL moments involving a thrown shoe, the fate of Ryan Gosling, Robert Downey Jr., and Tay-Tay. There is a boy who cannot break dance because he wears a prosthetic and only has one leg, a hashtag that proves that maybe humans don't deserve to survive, and a granny zombie who teaches one of our hero characters what warm plastic feels like pressed up against her head. Ew. There are some twists as to who does and does not survive. There may be a watery eye, possibly a tear shed, or at least a heart swell or a lump in your throat by the end of the movie. Extras to note, the film director said that this movie was influenced by films West Side Story, Rocky Horror Picture Show, The Breakfast Club, and my personal favorite, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, episode Once More with Feeling. He also said the film includes nods to zombie films that I call The Deads. Shaun of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Evil Dead, and a 2001 Japanese musical horror comedy called The Happiness of Katakuris, which is a surreal horror comedy farce tradition that includes claymation sequences, musical and dance numbers, a karaoke style sing-along scene, and dream sequences that I bet Pete has either seen or will want to see after this recording. Finally, I will end by saying this. Boom! There you go. I saved your life.
All right. 21 seconds left remaining. Nice job there.
Well done.
Woo. You're welcome.
That was both entertaining, informative, and now I am thirsty.
Okay, well.
Hold on to your butts.
Hold on to your butts.
Oh, no.
Held.
So, because this is an apocalypse movie, and what usually starts an apocalypse? A warhead. I have a little flavor combo in mind. So, we're going to pause, and I'll be right back.
Okay.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
So,
oh dear God.
That's fragrant. Okay.
So, like I said, what starts an apocalypse? A warhead. So I bought a 4-pack of Warheads Extreme Sour. And oh, we're going to do two flavors each kind of round that we do this. So we're starting with watermelon and green apple. And these are artisanal from Brew Works. And they are sour ales. So, and I even brought special little teeny tiny glasses so that we only have to have a little flavor. And I spilled, so.
Ha, you're the one that spilled this time.
I did. Well, I'm sorry.
Did you spill on yourself?
No, I spilled on the green cloth on the table.
Count. I only spilled on myself.
Well.
She's not, these are actual.
While you are better at.
Oh, yeah, Warhead branded.
Logo.
Oh,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is.
It's not a.
The candy. And they are, so far, candy-colored as well.
They got that.
So, I mean,
that
the thing is.
Lovely artificial green.
Is,
they got that artificial color.
I definitely planned for. Ah! Here, let me. Thank you. I definitely planned for this to, like, taste bad. So, which I know is
good
the
beer,
opposite. It's good
bad
beer,
movie?
Bad movie. But,
so you
hey.
Want good movie, bad beer.
Well, here's the thing. I liked the movie. Ah. So.
I was going to say, that's a matter of opinion, though.
Well, like I said, chocolate.
Well, it's turned
all right. Does everybody have.
Jody's abstaining. She refuses.
Well, Jody does have to scoot out early on us, and she does have to go someplace and sing. So it's probably not a good idea for you to scar your vocal cords as we.
Right
before you have to go
no
sing.
Yeah, no Warhead
so.
Beer before church choir.
I mean, if you got to draw a line in the sand, I guess that's the one to do. Okay, so let's start with
so
the.
You're in the back and you're singing, and people are like, what is that?
Like, what does it smell like? It, watermelon and sin.
Yeah.
Smells getting in my eyes.
It smells getting in my eyes. That's a great Millie quote. We were driving somewhere and Troy had chili cheese Fritos, I think.
Oh, no.
And she was like maybe three and strapped in. And, you know, the way you have to strap kids in the car is like an astronaut 5-point harness kind of thing. They can't go anywhere. And all of a sudden she goes, ha! What is that smell? What are you eating? That smell is in my eyes. And, oh, we almost wrecked the car. We were laughing so hard.
That's adorable.
Watermelon first.
All right. So extreme sour watermelon.
All right.
There you go.
Motherfucker.
Whoo, that's a warhead.
Yeah, that's watermelon.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't think it tastes like anything.
No, it tastes like sour.
Yeah, it tastes.
I'm not getting a lot of sour.
I'm not getting sour.
It's sour, but it's
this
not
is,
really that bad.
This is watered down watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Swallow.
It's like you put a Jolly Rancher in a full 16-ounce bottle of water.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not getting any flavor out of this.
Honestly,
you guys are.
Swallow, open your mouth, and then put your tongue to the top of your mouth, and you get candy.
Yes.
That sounds awful complicated.
Wait, what is this?
It's like the true warhead sensation, where like you have to like let it sit there for a minute. Get air on your tongue, and then it's just like.
I have to try that again.
Oh, I can't describe it any other way than how you eat a warhead.
So full disclosure, I've
with
not.
My mouth?
Well, I have had some warhead candies, but they were never good. Like I don't know.
Yeah.
I like they always were like so intensely sour right away. I just spit it out immediately.
Okay,
responsible 5%.
It just feels like to me. It just tastes like alcohol.
Like sour,
that's,
bitter
that's
alcohol.
All I taste is sour.
It's yeah.
All,
it's
I
a get, smell. Yeah. It's a smell that gets you,
yep.
But like the actual flavor is.
Yep. 100%.
I'm a little disappointed. I was expecting sour.
Yeah, me
I'm
too.
Not,
now, we did pick this one because we thought watermelon would be the easy one to start with.
Oh.
Right.
Because we do have green apple and then two other flavors for our next break.
So green apple is next.
Against my better judgment, I poured a second one for myself. This actually might not be bad. Over ice.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Possibly.
The sour apple is more flavor. I get less of the sour beer taste, which I personally
Are we doing
like.
Sour apple?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we can go ahead and start. No, it's fine.
Sorry. I get less of a sour beer taste, which for me as a non-beer drinker, I enjoy more.
Right.
So this one I like better, actually.
So I don't even smell anything on this one.
I do.
Oh, the smell is strong on this one, I think.
Literally, I'm almost like Dave snorting it up my nose.
I was
going to
say, Kathleen, I'm not smelling anything either.
Because I did that a couple of times.
Again, it just tastes like
sour water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It tastes like candy, right? Not that I wouldn't want a lot of that sugary candy, but
right.
But I want more than what's in here.
Right.
Yeah. I have some candy in the after flavor, the like in the mouth afterwards.
It is coating my tongue.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Ugh.
Yeah. This one has a little bit more of a bite to it, as proved by the face that I made, but it is it reminds me if Everclear was weak and then
I know
like if you
about.
Had like a gallon of Everclear that was like maybe 80 proof and a sour piece of candy to flavor it, that's like the strength, because that's all I'm tasting is that like true alcohol taste and then a little bit of maybe whatever the flavor is. The sour apple has more flavor to me than the watermelon did.
Yes, agree.
I don't know if that's good.
I was going to say, it's really an improvement other than it has more flavor. It's more bad flavor, but it's more flavor.
Under normal circumstances, I try to be very diplomatic when it comes to the things we drink, because a lot of times we drink like microbrews and like small batch, you know. I'm struggling to figure out when I would drink this.
Yeah.
Like this is not a mowing the lawn situation.
No. Something very strong as a food pairing to cover the flavor, perhaps.
Yeah. Yes.
What, burnt steak?
I'm thinking like charcoal briquettes or perhaps roofing tar.
Right. Bonnie hot dogs.
Yeah.
Kathleen, I'm just really glad you didn't give us each a can of our own.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that would have been a commitment.
First of all, it would have been a giant waste of money because these were not cheap either. And they're tall cans.
Yeah, they're tall boys.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't super expensive, but it was probably $10, $12 for four of these.
Oh, that's okay.
Which
that's
But
yeah, we're gonna pitch a lot of this.
Right.
For the reputation that Warhead's candy has, this is sad.
Yeah.
Underwhelming is a very that's a very good word. As Katie was describing, like, these are intense.
I can't even put it in my mouth.
And this is watered down sugar water with a little bit of.
Yeah. I almost wonder if it had a little more sugar in it, if it wouldn't
That's
have a little more.
That's what I was
thinking.
Like, I want a little more of that candy. Warheads, that candy, even though I
so
don't
is
really
this
care for candy.
A beer or is it a malt beverage?
Sour ale.
It's an ale.
It's a sour ale. What is the brewery?
It is Artisanal Brew Works, based out of Sarasota Springs, New York.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything about them.
You know what? I think they probably did the best they can, given the context. Sometimes you are given conditions in order to create something. Like, you know what? Michelangelo was given the Sistine Chapel ceiling, and he made a masterpiece in a very limited amount of space. Sometimes they're masterpieces. I'm not sure this is it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you experiment and try something, and... You know,
this is a final product, though.
Now, I would be curious what the other flavors, because sixth grade Katie's favorite was the blue raspberry. So I'm a little curious about that one.
Well, I was going to say it's coming down the pike. So much like a potentially slow walking, but sometimes fast dancing zombie, it'll get you. So
no bum rush on zombies. I draw the line at that. I'm not World War Z zombie kind of person. I'm Walking Dead zombie.
You're not a 2004 Dawn of the Dead.
No, I don't. I do not go along with that kind of zombie narrative. Yeah.
This is a sentence I didn't think I was ever going to say. I prefer a shambling zombie for sure.
Yes.
Because then it makes me, when I was watching this, there were a couple times when Anna is still oblivious to what's happening, especially when she's singing the song
that
on the second morning.
Right.
Well, not the opener, but the second.
Yeah, beginning of
the
second act.
Right. The beginning, when she gets up out of bed in the morning
that's what I meant.
That, when she's walking to school and all the chaos is happening behind her, she's completely oblivious to it. There were a couple times where I wondered if they had done a couple different takes of how they wanted some things to go, because first of all, there was so much going on in the background. Mm-hmm. They absolutely would have to do a bunch of takes in order to get all the people doing the things they needed to do in the right spots. Yeah. Plus she's singing and dancing as she's going down the road. But there were a couple times where it was like, they were slow shambling zombies. Mm-hmm. And then they were like faster, still kind of more like maybe just turned functioning zombies. And then it looked like at one point one lady was going to dance behind her a little bit. So it made me wonder if they didn't have some like dancing zombies kind of behind her. And then they decided that they didn't want that in post. But that one scene was part of what they like needed for the other thing. So you got kind of a little bit of it.
Didn't you say in your synopsis that the creators drew for like they compared this to like a West Side Story?
Yes, they said the film took inspiration from West Side Story, like Rocky Horror Picture Show, The Breakfast Club, and Once More with Feeling, which is the musical episode of Buffy.
Gotcha.
I think it's interesting because several of those are very campy.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't feel like this movie was campy in the way that I wanted it to be.
Agree.
Like, if I'm going to have a musical zombie Christmas movie, I want the camp, like, way dialed up.
See, I think that it was better that the camp was not so high.
Interesting.
Because there's a fine line where something goes from camp to garbage. And it is the skinniest of lines.
So did you want the zombies like snapping at the humans in a threatening manner?
Me? Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
For me,
so...
it was, I get what you're saying. You're right. Because when it gets too campy, I also do not like that.
Right.
This felt like it took itself too seriously. It was too serious, too much crying. I mean, that one American girl cried like 3 or 4 times. It just, and you just didn't care anymore. At least I didn't care anymore. It felt like it wasn't, they were trying to give this Oscar nominating performance and it wasn't, it was taking itself way too seriously. The fun of it was drained out of it for me because it was too serious. And the Dave had kind of said something like the comedy points weren't funny enough. So then when the serious points hit, it was too much. So it was like overload on serious, super sad, super sad, super sad. I'm like, and it's more High School Musical than West Side Story in my opinion.
Which I kind of liked.
High School Musical?
I liked the High School Musical aspect of it.
Yeah.
But like what Donna was saying is like there are serious moments, like very serious moments. Like
when you
talk about relationships or like mortality or like, more, you know, where's my dad? And they could have been interspliced with moments of levity and comedy, which makes the funny parts funnier and the serious parts more serious, but I feel like that wasn't done well enough here.
I feel like they front-loaded the humor, and then as the story goes on, it got darker and darker to where it was just kind of heavy at the end, for sure. Like, I totally agree with that. I agree with you that I would have liked to see more levity here and there, but it's also, like, there are parts of it that I think probably... would have hit funny because it's also a very British movie, and so that humor is subtle, that especially in that, like, that kind of levity humor that you're talking about, like at the end when Anna is talking to her dad, and like in the beginning of the movie she and her dad have a fight because she wants to put off going to college for a year and go traveling, and he's mad at her and he says, if your mom could see you now, which is like a kick in the teeth because mom has obviously died, and it's like, you're disappointing your dead mother, like, geez, dad, what the hell. And at the end, when she's like the hero, he says the same thing. Mm-hmm. If your mom could see you now, and it's like this moment. And then Nick comes in and dad says, I don't love your choice of boyfriend. And she goes, he's not my boyfriend. And he's like, oh, well, that's good news then. And that is that layer of that humor in with that darkness. But it's always so much more subtle in British TV films, made for TV kind of films, versus here in America, if we're not shooting it off at you, then we don't know what's happening.
But I've watched plenty of British things with that low, and this just wasn't executed well. So that's fair.
I think it needed more as well, but I still think that you kind of have to have that kind of lens when you're looking at it.
The only two good things I can say about this movie is production value was very high,
so
it looked great. All the voices were very good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone sounded really nice.
Yeah.
The songs themselves were pretty terrible.
They were cheesy, but catchy as hell. Oh, they were catchy.
I totally enjoyed them.
They were catchy songs for sure.
The first two were, after that, it lost me pretty much. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I will say my biggest thing with the songs is they were catchy in the moment, but I'm not going back and being like, let me look these up on Spotify play them over and over again. And I want to blast them in my car and belt them while I'm driving to work. Yeah. Like, I just didn't have that draw for me.
Yeah, maybe. I think that I think there's a couple that could have that for sure. No,
Hollywood one of the ending things, was great.
Yeah, Hollywood ending was great.
That's a great, great song.
And I think that one of the things, and this is definitely the nod in the writing to Once More with Feeling, is that the songs are so specific to the moment that is happening right in front of them. And they further the storyline.
See, and that's where, what I think was missing in this. I think the songs in the beginning made sense. And then the song that the drama teacher sang, which, by the way, that actor whose name escapes me, he was in Game of Thrones.
Yes, I have that
Lord
written down.
Guys,
Lord of Light was not going to save them in this.
No, he wasn't. But as no. soon as I saw his face, I'm like, I know that dude. But like, that was exciting seeing him like in something different. And I love seeing actors in different things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But the rest of the songs felt like, I get it's a musical, and so breaking out in song already feels unnatural, you know, and does it, but like, it didn't make any sense. I don't know. I started getting lost there. I'm like, I'm so confused what's happening right now.
I didn't love, his name is Paul Kay, that actor.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
I didn't super love his song either. I felt like it was kind of wedged in because he was one of the only like kind of main characters who hadn't had that moment, because he did have a little bit of, he sang for a little part of Hollywood Ending, but I didn't quite understand his point in that, other than it felt like that was him lamenting that he's not getting the thing he wants either. But I just, his song was just kind of,
it was kind of,
it was just supposed to show that he's, you know, the villain.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I thought that that kind of tied to that concept that Troy always talked about with Walking Dead, where eventually in the series you start to realize that the zombies are not the villains, but the people are the villains.
Yeah.
And this guy was the fucking villain from the get-go.
Right.
I mean, he opens the doors to the school because the parents and kids that are trapped in the school with him are defying him.
So for me, even though his song wasn't a good song, a break in that moment for him to have his moment made sense to me. Some of the other songs later in the movie, I'm like, just didn't make any sense. I was just so confused. I'm like, what's happening?
Well, you and I had totally opposite reactions to this movie.
What other song did you think didn't make sense?
Most of the other songs in the whole thing. It just felt like random breaking in the songs. Like, well, it's a musical, so we have to have a song now. But it didn't feel...
What musical ever feels like, oh, there's a song that needs to be sung here?
Fans of musical theater, when they're written well and they're executed well, they all make sense. All of the songs. Well, recently, just the other day, we were watching Hairspray. May not be everyone's favorite, but all the songs in there make sense when they're happening in the moment and along the storyline.
Yeah. In the best musicals, if you removed the songs, the musical by itself, the story by itself would not make sense.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bad musicals, you could remove all the songs and still understand the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually what makes the difference. And for me, as I was watching this, I thought, like Hollywood Ending is so catchy. And then Nick's song, like, that's very 80s hairband, rock and roll, catchy. Yeah. But I do agree that as you get towards the end of the movie, I was like, oh, we ran out of ideas. We're getting a little skimpy on the lyrics, where you start getting like, hey, everybody, let's sing. Look, all the bells are going to ring.
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Yes. Okay. Isn't the third act supposed to be where you hear the reprises or reprises?
Yeah.
Is it reprise or reprise?
Reprise.
I think, too, the two of us are heavily influenced. We just watched that Howard Ashman documentary on Disney+. And they talk about his life and basically how he completely transformed the Disney movie and made
the
them
model,
into
music.
He made the model for all their future.
Yeah. He's the brains behind the Little Mermaid and the shift.
Little Mermaid moving forward. Doesn't mean they were all good, but he's the one who, just like Jody said, like, part of your world from Little Mermaid, you gotta have that song in the movie or else the movie makes no sense. And they apparently wanted to take it out originally.
And I will say the beginning of this, the first couple of songs, reminded me of a British musical. Everybody's talking about Jamie, which I'm probably the only person here who's even heard of. But so I looked it up and I was like, are they the same writers? Mm-hmm. Because it would make sense that it's kind of same footprint mm-hmm. song-wise. And it obviously wasn't. But where that movie, because they did like a movie version on Netflix, and the show is a true musical where if you take them out, it doesn't make sense. I feel like this is one where they were just kind of writing songs to write songs.
Right. Right. They're writing songs to, instead of having a scene where they, all the characters talk and you know, mm-hmm. talk about what's going on, they have the song instead, which like when you look at like Hollywood Ending, there's, or even the first song where Anna is singing her song in one yes. part of the mm-hmm. school and Steph is, they're singing the same song, mm-hmm. but in three yeah. different places mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and with three
the marker on the face
kind of, yeah. And with, and two of them
I laughed
are very much having that, like, I've got to get out of here. I've got to change how things are going mm. where John is singing, how do I make a change that makes her stay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. so his point of view is different. And so I think it's a different style of how to do kind of a musical, especially mm-hmm. when you're setting something in a scenario that's so outside of the typical musical genre.
I think the first couple of songs are stronger. So it makes me wonder who wrote the first couple. It almost feels like different.
Yeah,
lyricists well, were writing the songs, because the first couple, including that one where it's a great day for her, she comes out and that was awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that.
Well, the thing that was interesting is, like I said in my synopsis, that this movie is based off of a short film yeah. called Zombie Musical that was okay. nominated for a BAFTA, which is basically the British sure, version yeah, of an yeah. Oscar. Mm-hmm. And the kid that wrote that, I say kid because he was young.
He was a kid at the time.
Yeah. That wrote
it was like a
that
senior project or something.
I've lost that half of my notes when
he
was working on it.
Sadly passed away from cancer.
Before yeah. they finished
right,
the film.
2 years before right. they finished the film.
So he'd done that short. It had been nominated and it got greenlit to move in to do this. And before they finished the film, he passed of, he died of cancer.
Like they had a lot of
and
it
at the end of the movie, they say in memory of, right. and it lists
Ryan
his
McHenry.
Name. Yes, mm-hmm. Ryan McHenry.
That
thank
could
you.
Be the missing
so
piece
that could
why
be why the end of it does go in a darker way and where the songs are not as strong as they are in the
yeah, there's not like
sense.
A
beginning.
Yeah, there's not like a continuity. There's not like a thing that ties it together. Like Dave talked about how like in the third act, there's usually kind of like a reprise or something like that. Like it
yeah.
happens in.
I thought we said it was going to be reprise.
But like a, yeah. Whatever. Like
we did say
then Beauty and the Beast where it kind of comes back sure. to that kind of like, and you need that kind of string that kind of ties
yes.
them all together.
Potato.
And so him not being there
potato,
anymore,
say,
that could be the missing piece as to why this lacked that continuity.
Yeah. They did musically. Play like a kind of generic reprise of one of the songs at the end, but it's playing kind of in the background. No one is singing right. it, but it's playing in mm-hmm. the background.
Now the opening, like just the, you know, when the movie starts, that opening tell like a total like ripoff of Danny Elfman.
Oh yeah, the it's mm-hmm. Christmas time or
yeah.
whatever
oh,
that song
oh,
that is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's this? Whatever. I've okay. only seen.
Oh yeah,
Christmas
means
whatever,
nothing without
what?
You.
What?
Is
yeah.
the name
what?
Of the?
Yeah, it's
wrong with you.
I don't like Danny Elfman. I'm not going to get into it.
What's wrong with you?
I just
no,
don't like
Pete.
Him.
Worms can.
Yeah, I'm just going to end it there. I just don't like him. It's not my yeah. thing.
So the first song that plays like over the credits as the movie is mm-hmm. starting, that Christmas means nothing without you, that's the song that's like on the radio in the car mm-hmm. and then at the very end the What a Time to Be Alive that plays over those really fun paper cutout looking mm-hmm. credits at mm-hmm. the end. So those like feel like British Christmas pop mm-hmm. songs that mm-hmm. are like, who's gonna be the Christmas number one, like
right,
that weird
right.
thing that they
Love
do
actually the
yeah
with and feel it in my fingers.
Yes. Yes.
I feel
exactly.
it in my fingers. I feel it in my tongue.
So, yeah.
Sorry.
That
may have been playing in this household.
Yeah. There's a great
As
write-up on the Nerdist yeah. website that ranks all of the songs from what they think is the best song to the worst song.
In this film?
For this film.
Film.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So, I think that's worth a read. Okay.
I thought Time to Be Alive
bit.
Was hilarious.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like this, like Jody was saying, that there's like a drop off on how the songs became, which makes me appreciate Once More with Feeling even more, because that was, they started strong, they had a strong middle,
yeah,
and then they hit you square in the puss with that last song,
Not My Puss,
that Michelle sings.
I need that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Sarah Michelle.
Michelle. Like, who? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
SMG, right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Not Walk in Fire. I told myself I wasn't going to forget this.
It's the one.
Fire Walk with Me.
No, it's the not one where she, it's where no, she admits that she was in
heaven.
Well,
she was in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to this day, I was listening on the way over here. I'm like, if you've watched Buffy the whole way through, that means so much to you, and it still stirs a well of emotions. And that just goes to show that the way One More with Feeling just kept getting better and better with the songs, where this one there was, I tend to agree, there was a clear drop off, or like a petering out of it was a wet fart toward the end of the movie versus a shebang.
Yeah, well, and it makes me wonder too, like, in watching the film, was the plan always the losses that we had? You know, were the three final characters that walk away from this? Because when you go into it, like, spoiler alert, I did tell you to pause this and go watch the movie and then come back. So if you didn't do that, it's your fault. But from the beginning of it, when the kids, it's a zombie movie. So when Steph wants Chris to go help her film at the soup kitchen instead of come to the Christmas show, and Anna and John are going to go to work. So it's like, okay, we're separating our characters out. Anna and John are going to be in one spot. Steph and Chris are going to be in another spot. Lisa's going to be like, we're going to do this. And Nick is kind of this, like, you don't even think he's going to come back kind of thing. He's this weird antagonist off to the side that you don't really give much credit to, because we've already set up that the principal to be is the villain
that was coming down the road.
And we had, a beautiful Chekhov's star that almost hit him in the beginning.
It's true.
And then, nails him at the end.
That's going to come up later.
Right. Oh, yeah. Or down is what ultimately happens. Yeah. So, but when they set that up, and it's like, okay, so these are the kids, because the description says Anna and her friends fight their way across town. I did not see Steph coming out in the end. She's the American transplant. She's not in a relationship with anybody. Like,
she's on screen anyway.
She's basically the red shirt in this group. She's the one that you lift out, and the group continues on.
And I wonder if that's why they had her and Nick, because they're almost like, not outcasts per se, but they're outliers as far as the plot. Anna's got to survive because she's in the title.
Right.
So it makes sense for her to kind of survive, but maybe that's this idea of the only people that survive beyond the title character are these two characters you would never expect. And I actually kind of liked that. I did like
that. Yeah, I did too.
That was an odd, because it's almost too perfect and idyllic, like her and her best friend and her dad get away. Like, no, it almost
But that's what we all wanted, and we didn't get it.
That's what you want, and that's the whole point of these zombie things.
Well,
survive.
They a little bit told us that was going to happen, because they already told us that we weren't going to get a Hollywood ending.
Right.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I wasn't happy about it, but I wasn't surprised that John dies. Especially when it's after their, you're only going to be my best friend, conversation.
Talk about two heartbreaks in the same damn movie for the same damn character.
Yeah.
Like, she tells him to his eyeballs, you're only going to ever be my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies.
Yeah.
Then he gets eaten by zombies.
Oh, yes.
But the shirt still works.
The sacrifice.
The sacrifice.
Yeah.
He gets to bless his heart.
Yeah.
He
gets a bless.
He does, for sure.
If you rewatch the movie, which I did not do, we'll get to that.
You know this firsthand.
Okay. What is that dick, the jockey dick?
Nick.
With the pretty eyes. Okay. Nick, thank
he
you.
He did have really pretty eyes.
Yeah. He was actually pretty striking looking.
Mm-hmm.
He was, spoiler alert, made the confession about his father having to kill his own father.
Yeah.
And
it was late, but it happened.
Right.
And we all kind of went, oh. Right. That's why you're pissed off about it.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So he became interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Steph character, Steph North, she was blonde, striking looking American, and a lesbian.
Yep.
Too many interesting things for her to die.
And basically abandoned by her parents.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Too much backstory. Like too much fleshing out of that character for her to die.
See, that's what makes her easy to die because mm-hmm. we never meet her parents. We never meet her girlfriend. She's not connected to anything. It makes sense that she just goes.
It's an easy throwaway right. character.
Especially if we're in a TV series, yes.
Right.
But in a standalone movie, we're never going to know any of that shit anyway. Mm-hmm. So
right.
why she get to survive?
But then like, okay, the father and John. John's the guy who the best friend.
Yes.
Yeah. John's the best friend. Yeah.
You became way less interesting now. Like your confession's over. You don't have much more to contribute.
Right.
Like you're zombie food.
Right.
And dad kind of had to die. I kind of felt he had.
Though for John, I was expecting some redemption arc where he would, I mean, like in an American movie, he would have saved her and won the girl at the end or something, you know? I mean,
I guess
kind of what you could expect.
Half totally. Right.
But again, we were telescoped by not a Hollywood ending.
Yeah.
When he sings, the good guy doesn't get the girl.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Nice guys don't get the girl.
I just caught that.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. I actually didn't caught it. You had to bring it up to me.
Yeah.
But like the couple that like were searching for each other,
yeah.
like as soon as they found each other, like who cares now? Like you found each other, yep. so now you can die.
And mm-hmm. and was it his mom or grandma?
It's his grandma.
His grandma, yeah.
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 Grandma
who,
dies too.
Who
yeah.
clearly is the person who's raising him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So at that point,
so
it's
Nan's
like,
dead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you already made your confession.
Yeah.
So, like, what more do you have to contribute other than your death? And
yeah.
it was a glorious death.
Yeah. Though that was the part in the movie that broke my heart. Not that they died, but that when I think it's when Anna's singing the, like, last breath song mm-hmm. and she and Nick are, like, outside and they're flashing around. You see John and he's, like, sat himself up.
Yes.
Now I did laugh that when she sang the word light, his sweater started to light up again.
yeah.
Like
yeah.
I was like, oh god,
that was
subtle British humor. That's like okay. And then but you see Chris and Lisa and they're still in that like teacher's lounge or whatever it is
yeah.
outside the office and they're zombied and they walk past each other. And they have no connection
nothing.
Anymore.
There's nothing yeah. there.
And it's like they even kind of brush up against each other and then they just keep going. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but that's all they wanted was to be able to be together. I was like, stupid movie. Like, I did not like that part at all. So, and
I
then
liked
you
it a
see
lot.
Dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked it because I thought, okay, you got me. But I also didn't like it because I didn't want that to be what
right.
happened to
well,
them.
The thing is, I didn't want that either. But like when I saw them approaching each other, I'm like, if they touch hands or something like that, I'm going to fucking puke
they,
in my
yes,
lap.
I would
they even
mad
took a close-up
of
their
hands.
And they passed.
If a zombie hugged, I'd have been like, well, that's not realistic.
Yeah, but yeah. that they had, like they were completely
nothing.
Indifferent to one another. I'm like, perfect.
Yeah.
Great. That's
yeah.
cool.
And then dad holding his phone
yep.
with the picture of her. And then I was glad that we didn't have to see him be a zombie, but we just
yeah.
see that he dies.
Yeah.
Because the phone falls to the ground. I was like, okay, all right. Plus, I love that actor. He's in a very silly kind of campy show called Shakespeare in Hathaway. So that show is very funny, and I enjoy him a lot.
You know what I don't enjoy? This beer. Let's try the second part.
I just got the Shakespeare in Hathaway thing.
What do you mean you just got
like
it?
You just realized
you,
like
mean
you
watched that
Shane Hathaway?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, I just got it like an asshole.
Wait, you mean you watched that show and you didn't understand why that was their names?
No,
no
I just
title,
like
I
Shakespeare, William Shakespeare, and,
yeah.
and like yeah, the Hathaway and yeah. Never mind, I'm a dick.
Okay,
so
I'm gonna go run off to church choir practice. So
you want to try the more harsh beers? Don't lie.
See you at home, honey. Love you. Bye.
Oh, if ever I would leave you.
All right, so Jody's out. Troy's right. We need more beer. So we will be right back with another beer or two.
Or two.
Or two. Bye.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
All right. Dave, when you edit
just,
that, Dave, you need to make that echo.
You were just hoping that it would explode on me the way it does.
Oh, that is very
blue.
I was hoping that Kathleen would beer all over herself.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Look at the color.
It's like a very electric blue.
That is very electric blue, yeah. Oh, this smells like a toy.
Right?
A toy?
Much.
like when you opened a brand new toy or a cassette tape.
So super intense. Plastic.
Like when you opened a cassette tape when you were a kid. And that's
Oh my God. BASF.
Really good. So
which one is first, the blue?
Let's do the blue since that's the one the boys are
or Purple Pie Man from Strawberry Shortcake.
All right.
Oh my God.
Whoa.
I can't remember the last time I heard anybody mention Purple Pie Man.
My sister collected those.
Least scary villain ever.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
See, this blue one tastes watered down for me like the first one did.
All right, blue one first.
Mm-hmm. So sour. But it's got flavor.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem that sour to me. Just all I can taste is sour beer.
The sourness goes away a lot faster.
Yeah.
This one actually has, I think,
I kind of
more
like
flavor.
The flavor of this one a lot more.
It's got a punch of flavor.
I don't get the sour. I mean, there's a little.
Either. It's like an initial sour, like, and then it.
When Kathleen brings a sour, them things are butt puckering.
Well, yeah, but they're normally just
sucking.
Butt puckering?
Butt puckering. Oh, yeah.
Are you drinking it right?
Aren't you?
He must be taking them outside of this space because they definitely.
We're back to the absorption of. Never mind. This actually tastes like the candy with no sugar.
Yes.
Yes.
Boy, this bores me. I'm bored.
Yeah. I really don't.
This isn't sour. It's not.
Well, that's the great sin, isn't it? Like, it can be good. It can be bad. But if it's boring, that's not good.
Right.
Much like a lot of the movies that Kathleen laments.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the swarm of beers, but.
Oh, no.
You're welcome.
We haven't had a swarm of beers, I hope.
But it's not the Incredible Shrinking Woman either. I was trying to think of one that we all rated really high.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. We all enjoyed that.
I'm smelling the lemon one, and it kind of smells like.
All right, I gotta get water.
Pine Sol.
That's not good.
There's a biting Pine Sol.
Right?
It's biting.
Like you're like
the aroma.
High lemon.
Like
the lemon. All right.
Like there is a floor cleaner.
Ooh, yeah.
Aroma.
I love
to this.
Lemon, but this is not the lemon I.
But that's I haven't tried it yet.
But you know what? It has a lot of flavor.
Oh yeah, it does.
Whoa, that's a that'll smack you in the face.
Mm-hmm. It still doesn't really taste what I would consider sour.
I want more sugar in this.
None of these are that
it's
sour.
It tastes like
I
candy.
I want more candy sugar in this. Is this what a Warhead tastes like?
No, Warheads are much more intense.
I was
going to
say,
this.
And it's more sugary.
Yeah. There's not like, enough sugar.
Yeah, I'm not getting enough sugar out of this. I mean, like
say,
candy
though,
sugar.
Yeah. So far, I think the lemon is the best. It has the most.
I agree.
Best.
I would agree. Yeah.
Lemon's the best.
Yeah. Which, in a sense, kind of makes sense. Good job. In a way, kind of makes sense because a lemon naturally has a more sour aspect to it. So
yeah, it tastes more natural.
Right.
So to speak. I mean,
as natural as something this color can taste.
Right.
I'm unimpressed with all four of these.
Yeah.
But thank you very much for the experience.
Yes, thank you very much.
Like I said, I knew they weren't going to be great when I picked them up, which is also why I brought these little teeny tiny glasses.
Smart.
Yeah,
thank
you. Even if we hadn't had the extra people, I still would have brought these little teeny tiny glasses or told Dave to bust out the shot glasses because I knew that this was not going to be.
4 ounces of any of this beer is 3 ounces
and
too much.
Even though there's not a lot of sugar or enough sugar in it for flavor, drinking a lot of this liquid would give you that. What my friend Wendy and I used to call tar belly when we had too many Mike's Hard Lemonades back in the late 90s and early 2000s. Too much sugar just coats everything. You just feel like there's
a
solid.
And I'm so unsatisfied because I'm not drunk enough to feel this full.
Oh, well. I mean, you obviously weren't drinking those Mike's Hard Lemonades as fast as Wendy and I were.
Yeah, that would do it.
We were nice and buzzed.
Those were 5 or 7%.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a tar belly. That's a.
Yeah.
Not going to do anything crazy. Not going to attack an escalator.
Yeah. I would say if you're looking for something, we didn't attack the escalator. We fell.
Collectively?
The escalator attacked us.
Yes.
Clearly.
It did. It was definitely the escalator.
That was your fault, I hear, honey.
Not. It was. What? It started out as your fault. And then it got
Dave
worse.
Was there, wasn't he? Yeah.
You know what? I'm. It's been. Okay, I'll own it.
It wasn't the people consuming the liquor. That,
yeah.
It was the
margaritas that were brown because they were all tequila and ice.
There is that too.
So
I'm pretty sure we drove home with a summons coming up.
I remember we debated it. That was probably, I would say, one of my like next morning most shameful, like, oh, that was bad.
I feel like you know Pete long enough, you have a story where the next morning,
one story.
The night of is a story, and the aftermath is also a story or several stories. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when Pete and I, the Varsity Club.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
We both worked at the same bar, and we, like, it's a couple beers in, we're crank calling our bar, like where we worked.
Wait, is this a real story?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Or you're just making up
stories? No.
I don't have to make up stories.
Yeah.
And neither does Pete, I promise you.
You crank called the bar where you
We crank called our own bar a couple of times. And the manager.
No, it was Brazenhead, wasn't it?
No, it was Adobe's.
Was it Adobe's?
Yeah. But I remember you got in trouble at some point. No, that was a different story.
That was a different story.
Yeah, sorry.
We'll talk about that story on a different podcast.
Yeah,
that's a good story.
Yeah, there's underwear involved.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
That doesn't belong to anybody.
Lots of underwear that's
in there. The night that Dave tried to kill us at... started out with,
Ein, zwei.
That's a different night.
That's a different
night. Yeah. This is the night. The night that we fell off the escalator is the night that we went to Shadowbox.
Oh,
we started at Adobe's. And Dave made us tequila.
Right.
Or I was going to say margaritas, but he actually made us tequilas.
Frozen tequilas.
Yeah.
They weren't margaritas. They were frozen tequilas.
I'm not kidding when I say it was a brown margarita because it had no... Like it had like a
no
nice
lime,
and ice, and
we
whatever.
We partied with the Shadowbox people afterwards.
Yeah, which I don't remember.
I have pictures. Physical pictures,
and
not
then
phone
the,
pictures.
The...
Yeah, but you can't share those. The statute of limitations is still...
right?
Yeah, we're still
totally.
Within the statute of limitations.
Yeah. No, the Eins Fei night, that's the night of the wedding, and then the...
The birds waking you up in the morning.
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that one later.
That was a good night, too.
When I first met her, I heard these stories, like, a couple of times, but I didn't realize they were all the same night. Like, it was like...
Well, these are two different nights. The birds was a different night. The wedding, the Germans, and the birds.
And the birds were all the same
night. It's all
night.
The same 24-hour period.
It's like a movie.
It was like a movie.
Oh, God. That'd be a great movie.
Speaking of limp bodies and movies...
No, I think these zombies are kind of... I don't know. I was going to say stiff, but then I thought you'd make something gross, and then I didn't want to say stiff, so.
Oh.
Right?
Missed opportunities.
I know. I do that a lot. I try to censor myself with what I'm going to say to keep them from saying something that makes me grossed out.
You can't crack that door, because we'll bust
I know, that's
right.
what
we'll
I'm saying.
We'll bust it down.
I know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, returning, cool, like returning bowlers from the night before, zombies, you'll bust right through the door. So I had to laugh at my own self when I was watching this movie, and Steph kills the cleaning lady zombie at the bowling alley
with
the lid to the toilet seat. Because my first thought was, ew. And then my second thought was, oh, God, in the toilet. And then my third thought was, do they have toilet lids on public toilets in
the UK?
Because I was
Scotland.
Like, you can't, that would not be a quality weapon here in the United States.
No. Don't remember.
There's seats, but not lids.
Yeah, do you remember
to the public stalls?
Oh, I thought she bashed it with a seat,
it's the lid. It's the lid.
Oh no, we don't have lids.
No, but in the UK and like Scotland and London.
Not that I remember.
There was a lid on that toilet for sure.
Oh yeah, because that's definitely how. Because you don't see the lady's head, you just see her banging that lid
like
down.
The only thing that I remember from the public toilets in Scotland or any of the toilets in Scotland was how like frighteningly deep they are. Like, they are very, very deep.
The lid was deep?
No, the toilets were deep.
Oh.
Like, you're like, oh, like, it would have an echo. It's deep.
I think it's funny, the Brits and kind of people from the UK in general, and then some people from Europe, the comments that they make about, like, weird things in America.
Yeah, the bathrooms here.
Is that our bathroom stall doors don't go, like,
full
ceiling? Or, like, the gaps kind of thing? And it's like, trust me, we hate that, too. Because there are definitely a couple of places where I'm just like I might as well just leave this door open. This gap is so huge. So, yeah.
In some places, depending on where you go, like some of the dives, there's no doors at all. So you just kind of sit
there.
That's
not like, in the ladies' room.
I was going to say the ladies' room. Yeah.
Is I don't know.
Yeah. In the men's room, it's like, yeah, you get to see like everybody al fresco. Like it's gross.
The last triathlon I did was at a public or a
look at me. I do triathlon.
Oh,
and there was no door on that. Yeah, and I had to go, and I had to squat. And boy, I did it. And I'm like. There's just people you walking
do.
By.
Like, what are you gonna do? Yeah. Like, this is what I'm doing. And then it's like, it's not gonna smell like roses.
There's no time for me to not get this done.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I mean, I applaud you for stopping because there are those marathoners that just let go.
They've got to make time.
No, it wasn't that long of a marathon. Yeah, it was horrifying. It was a triathlon, and it was a short one.
Yeah. It was a I can stop marathon, not a I have to poop myself marathon.
It was not a. I
don't think that there
marathon.
Should be one of those.
I think any activity could be an I poop myself activity if you poop yourself.
Gross.
I mean, but it
like,
shouldn't
the
be
I poop
acceptable.
Myself book club or, you right. know.
Yeah. Again, I'm no. going with, but it should be acceptable. Yeah. Acceptable. I can't even speak. No.
I was actually honestly surprised that you had mentioned really earlier that like you actually liked this movie.
I liked this movie.
What did you like about it?
I liked the songs. Not all of them. There's always going to be a range of songs. I mean, you could hand me an album by my favorite band, and there's going to be like, the ones I love and the ones I don't, okay. you know, Absolutely. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But... So I liked the music and I liked most of the characters. I did understand that, you know, again, they're not all going to be amazing, but I don't know. Basically 90 minute zombie.
It was delightfully
movie.
Short.
Yes. Which though for in taking notes, it still took me like 2 hours to watch it.
Sure.
But, okay. So, I mean, what didn't you like about it? I mean, it couldn't be perfect.
I felt like the movie was well paced in the beginning. And then I felt like there was a little bit of like jarring between like, how long has this been going on? How many days are we dealing mm-hmm. with this?
There wasn't very clear how long that had been.
Right. No. Because it was like, we're starting on mm-hmm. one school day morning because dad is taking the two kids mm-hmm. to school. Right, and then we have a next school day because she wakes up.
It was no less than 48 hours, but
it was
could
at
have
least
longer.
3 days because oh, I did. 3 days. Well, yeah, because she wakes up and then sings her whole like, my life is so wonderful while chaos is erupting behind her.
Brilliant.
Yeah, which was amazing.
And her friend had on the same Christmas tree sweater. I'm like, why is he wearing that 2 days
well,
in a row?
The only thing that I can think, though, is that
shit
like
happened and then
British. British school kids like wear uniforms and he's going back to school again for the next day. And so he's just going to
wear a sweater
again.
It's a sweater. Okay. You don't sweat in your sweater.
Right. I guess I just kind of like, it's a new day. Are they trying to not have like a continuity error? But I'm like, you should have,
which
a new
also
sweater.
Would be, you know, make sense because everybody else is also in school uniform.
Right.
Nobody
right.
changes clothes in the
entire
movie. So, you know, I mean, maybe the principal has a different suit on than he does the first time, but he's not important enough to notice.
Right.
And Lisa has a couple outfit changes because she does that singing performance.
Mm. Right.
So, but as far as just like the main people, everyone's wearing the same outfit.
Right.
So,
So you didn't like that?
Well, what I didn't like was I thought that the pacing was really good through that. But then I didn't understand the timing and why it took so long to walk from the bowling alley back to the school. Like, I understand they had to, like, stop and fight some zombies, but I don't know. It was like they had only gotten
between
So
places. Time and distance. Yeah.
Time and distance was a little weird because like they left the bowling alley basically the next morning.
Empty mall or something. And
well, it was like a tree emporium, but like the main four, like our
saying,
heroes, left with the ball pit over their heads.
Yeah.
And like by the time they ran into Nick and his friends, it was like half the day was gone. And I kind of get like they were like going slow so as to not attract the zombies or whatever. And then I don't know, because then when they go not very much farther where they get to the tree emporium, it's almost dark.
Yeah.
So they have to cut through the tree emporium.
That, yeah.
And then they get through it And by that time then, it is pitch black outside. And yeah. I was like,
okay.
That I felt just, it felt
it is
wrong.
It could be like between 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock in Ohio. And that is the difference between day and night, quite literally, in Ohio this time of year.
Donna can attest to this. Like the UK in the wintertime, it's dark at like 3:30.
Which I totally understand. But my I still feel like they woke up at Scotland. The sunrise with, you know, the sun streaming through the windows and they pop up in the ball pit.
Yeah.
And it to me, it shouldn't be taking from 7 a.m. to 3.
Right.
To even walking slowly to not attract attention and having two zombie skirmishes and a song. It still shouldn't have taken 8 hours to get across town to the school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
That I mean, that totally makes sense. Like continuity and like the sense
it just,
of time.
Yeah, it just made it feel like,
So, okay, Katie, I was actually really curious about your opinion on this because like you are way bigger of a musical theater fan than I am. I'm curious as to what you liked and disliked about this movie.
So I did like a couple of the songs, especially the ones at the beginning, because I do think they were written a little bit more cohesive with what they were doing with the story.
Right. Drove and the narrative.
Yeah. And I think that they cast the cast the film well. Mm-hmm. Like the people that were playing the main character could actually sing.
Mm-hmm.
And, surprising. Yeah.
I was going to say, we've got big budget musicals that cast Russell Crowe who can't.
but they're all British and the Brits all learn how to sing and dance.
But I kind of just found it boring. Mm-hmm.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
Oh.
Like,
oh, the big sin.
Like it was one of those that I wanted somebody to die earlier.
There was lots of death. Holy
partly
shit.
Partly because like I'm not a zombie movie person. I'm not a horror movie person. Sorry, Pete.
You're wrong.
But if I'm going to watch it, I want it to pay off.
It did take a while for that to get started. Yeah,
like I laughed because I wrote down at one point, I was like, oh, it took 25 minutes for something to actually happen.
That's a zombie.
It's an actual musical because it usually takes 25 minutes to set stuff up.
Oh, okay.
But then like a third of the movie's over. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of, at that point, it was, I wanted people to die sooner.
I mean, her mom was dead before the movie started.
But, and that's a Hallmark movie, right?
See?
But I feel
single
like,
father
with
a grown-up daughter.
Right.
I mean, the plot was predictable, but not as predictable as a Hallmark movie. And I just want, like, that's my warm, comfy, cozy blanket.
Okay. So you liked that it was a musical.
I liked that it was a musical.
Didn't like, right?
But the rest of the movie, it was just kind of like, eh. Right. Like, I could have spent my time watching The Nine Lives of Christmas for the 15th time and would have just been very happy.
But had you done that, you wouldn't be here with us.
That's true. But I would have at least been able to talk about the first third of the movie.
But also, you will have seen The Nine Lives of Christmas.
Right. I've already seen it like 15 times.
She literally owns that one.
I do.
I will reserve judgment.
skipping.
Troy, what did you like about the movie? I mean, I know you liked hard.
I like pretty much everything. I think I went into this with low expectations, and it was a lot higher quality, like the look and feel of it, than I was expecting. The songs, I liked all the songs. I totally enjoyed them breaking into song. The zombies had a great look. Like that Santa zombie was creepy as hell with the beard falling off.
The cleaning lady zombie was really creepy too.
The cleaning lady zombie had something with her eyes that was way scary.
Did everybody wait till like the end of the initial credit roll? There was a last scare.
Oh yeah. I think with the
Santa.
With Santa. Just checking.
Yeah.
And like you were talking about how you like everything that happened was expected by you. It subverted a lot of my expectations. I thought I knew how this was going to end, and I was wrong.
Right.
So, like, I was genuinely surprised when they killed John, and I was genuinely surprised when, I guess the lovers were going to die, but I still wasn't quite ready or expecting it. So when they went down, I was like, oh wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
So yeah, it played with my emotions well. It was fun, and I enjoyed it.
Cool. Donna, we watched it together. I know that you had opinions.
What?
I mean, what did you like and dislike about it?
what I said at the beginning, I thought the production value was really good. Honestly, a lot of the effects, like the practical effects and stuff like that, quite well done. Mm. All the singers were very good. Those are probably the highlights for me. The things I didn't like is, I agree with Katie, I found it just very boring. I lost interest after about 20 minutes, and I just didn't care about any of the characters. And so yeah. I was just waiting for it to end by that point.
Fair. I mean, and we watched it again.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I
mean, that's your opinion.
Yeah. And again, we watched it together. So, like, right. I watched real time as you espoused your opinions. And they were, honestly, I was kind of in agreement because, like, I liked the movie because I made a very conscious effort not to read anything about this before mm-hmm. I got to it. And, like, the fact that it was a musical at all, apparently I blocked it from my mind. And then so when I watched it and they started breaking into song, I'm like, yes. And I wanted this. And it did not disappoint. Until about the third act. And then I'm like, and then what we talked about before, where like they didn't intersplice serious and funny
mm-hmm.
well enough. So like, did I like the music? Sure. I was surprised at how well people sang. The songs were, they needed work, but I got the feeling that whoever wrote the songs, and they were fine songs,
mm-hmm.
Weren't musical composers. They were something else, but they definitely had musical chops, and I did look them up, and they are musicians. They're just rock musicians. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, fine.
And again, going off of someone else's original work too, right?
Right. I did get bored after a while, and like that's the big sin. Good, bad, whatever. But if I start losing interest, But Pete, I knew there were parts about this that you would like and dislike, mm-hmm. and I would like to hear them.
The practical effects were amazing. I got the DVD from the library.
Oh,
so
nice.
I got,
so sweet.
Excuse me. So I got the special features.
Oh,
on
nice.
It. And it was a lot of fun to watch. These kids were having a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And the blonde gal.
Steph.
Yes. Was Steph the North. Coordinator. She did all the dance coordination.
Oh, she was the choreographer.
Oh, the
yeah,
choreographer.
I'm sorry, choreographer,
was
right.
Surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Like,
right. It was a hoot, right?
I was very impressed with the choreography. So kudos to her.
Yeah, not only did she have a part in it, but she did all the choreography. The practical effects, I was so happy that all the blood splatter was pumping.
Right.
Blood into
like
the
hoses,
air.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. It was so good. And instead of, I mean, like even the first episode of Ash versus the Evil Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some Bruce Campbell. There was some CG blood splatter there. I'm like, no. It's not the same thing. No,
you have to decorate the set. With the blood.
Right. And one of the funny things with the special effect or the special features was when they were in the bowling alley. Like the mall and the school mm-hmm. were both getting demolished soon after the movie was completed.
Oh, nice.
So they could do whatever the hell they wanted in there. They could throw all the guts and blood wherever they wanted. It didn't matter. But that bowling alley was a working bowling alley. You could not make a mess in it. So they put all the tarps down. They put everyone had raincoats on. We're ready to go. And when he did the two bowling balls to the head, the effect spurted straight up instead of straight out.
Oh, yeah.
To where all the tarp was to catch it, but it went straight up and hit the ceiling and the TV. And so if you're going to the bowling alley and you see the, you know, your scores up there, and this is probably stain that you can't get out because it's Carol syrup and red blood dye or whatever. Yeah. It's awesome.
The next time I go bowling in Glasgow,
take a look at the ceiling.
Is it really called Thunderballs? Like,
I hope it is, but I don't know. I don't know. That's
that sounds like something for the Scottish.
I think we should. Yeah. I think we should own that neon. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Right.
I think weirdly, I mean, I'm listening to Donna and Katie. Like, you guys got bored with the characters. We clearly come from different worlds because I mm-hmm. thought they built those characters really well into the story and I hate zombie movies. I hate zombie movies because there is a hopelessness to a zombie movie that
yeah.
Yeah.
there's sorry, they're going to keep coming. Yep. Yeah, and if these people die, they're going to get up and keep coming. And there's nothing you can do. Now, with this film, they had a blunt force trauma. You chop their head off or...
destroy the brain.
Destroy the brain. And that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
That there is a death to them, like sunlight with vampires. Or
sort of, because, I mean, I totally agree with you, but the teeter-totter zombie, when she popped his head off.
The head was popped up, but the brain wasn't damaged.
Right, but...
and the ball return.
That and the ball return. Both of those zombie heads still were trying to bite. Right.
Yes, but the brain was not destroyed.
Right.
Again, the brain wasn't necessarily destroyed. So I thought they were working on some sort of a lore here. So if the brain got damaged, then the zombie was in fact dead. And that makes me happy because there is a way around this.
Right.
It's the Return of the Living Dead movies where if you chop them up to a million pieces, they're going to continue to crawl after you.
Yeah.
And I don't dig that at all whatsoever because of the extreme hopelessness.
Right.
Of what's going on. I thought my favorite part of this was how much I cared. God damn it. Fucking zombie movies. I actually liked these kids that started getting her best friend, John.
Yeah.
Was like, hey, I remembered all the reindeer. And then chomp.
Oh, yeah.
And you're dead.
Yeah.
Sexy child.
Damn it.
Yeah.
And then the lovers, the two young lovers.
Yeah, Chris and Lisa.
They were doing a great job. And then chomp, chomp. You're dead. And as you said earlier, Dave, they just walked right by each other, recognizing. And it's heartbreaking. This was heartbreaking to me. Mm. I hate zombie movies because of that. And I think this movie did a very good job of making me care about the characters before they died, before they became monsters.
Yeah.
And now you can't care about them anymore because they're a shell of a being and they're done.
Right.
That's what I liked and didn't like about it all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Okay.
I have known for a long time your dislike for zombie movies.
I don't like them. Like a vampire, you can kill a vampire. Mm-hmm. And Frankenstein, you can disassemble it. And Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Or you can just give him a wife like he asked for.
Right. But a zombie will...
because forced marriage is always a great idea.
Right. But a zombie will always find a way. Life finds a way.
Yeah.
Zombies find a way.
That's right.
And that's how zombie movies work.
That's what Jurassic Park is.
And that's why I hate zombie movies, because there's no hope. That's it. That's my likes and dislikes of this movie. So there we go. That's that's End of the Apocalypse. We all have our wonderful opinions. Let's get a rating going. Hey, Dave.
What? Oh, yeah.
How about you tell us how the rating works?
Oh,
dork.
Call me names.
I love you, Dave.
I love you too, Pete. Okay, so we here at Good Beer, Bad Movie Night have a unique rating system. We have the six-pack rating. Well, we'll rate a movie from zero beers to six beers. Zero beers means you need no alcohol. You love the movie as is. You might have one courtesy. Six beers means you have to be completely inebriated to even tolerate this movie. So let's start with Jody. Jody? He's not here. So,
Hi, I'm Jody.
No, you're not.
That's a terrible impersonation.
It was terrible.
Hi, I'm Jody.
You're married to her. I would hope your impression's a little better.
I have a lovely singing voice. I teach music.
She did give us a rating, right?
Yes, she did. Before she left to go do her drunken church thing. She said that she rates this movie two beers. I will not venture a guess as to why. It just means that she didn't hate it.
Nah.
But she didn't love it. Okay. So
I don't know.
Two means she kind of enjoyed it.
It's all right.
Right. So, Katie.
Sure. I'm going to go three.
Three beers? All
three
right.
Three beers. I didn't hate it, but I was so bored that I think having three beers in me might make it a little bit more enjoyable because I'd be drinking.
Right.
Yep.
That's perfect. No,
that's exactly
that is exactly
what this
is all the spirit.
About.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly the spirit of the six pack rating. So, Donna.
Yes.
Hello, wife.
Hello, honey.
How many beers do you require to enjoy this movie?
I would probably need like four. I was also incredibly
wow.
And I wonder if I were really shit faced that maybe I'd like it more.
But four on a scale of zero to six, you're pretty looped.
Yeah.
Okay. So four it is. All right. Pete, you have opinions.
I do.
How many beers do you require to watch this movie?
I am going to give it two.
Two?
I kind of liked it. I thought the movie did its job making me care about the stupid characters.
Okay.
And their deaths. And some of the songs were fun. And I genuinely giggled at a lot of it without any alcohol. But I'm still going to give it two. I think it would have been funnier with a couple of beers in me.
All right.
Two. I know. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Okay.
It's the holiday season. I'm being generous, I suppose.
Oh, that's dumb. Okay, so how many beers do I require? I require three beers. I didn't hate this movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I kind of liked it, but I also kind of didn't like it. I liked it for all the reasons that everybody has said, honestly. I didn't like it only because I knew it could have been done better, and I've seen examples of all these things. The musical, the zombie horror, the horror comedy, and I feel like if given a little bit more thought, this could have been really good. But as it is, three beers for me. Next is Troy.
No beers.
Zero.
Totally enjoyed it. I had a good time watching it. So.
Wow!
So I had no beers while watching it and enjoyed it, thus zero beers.
I'll be damned. All right. Zero for Troy. And last, but very definitely not least, Kathleen.
I am torn. Because really my truest answer would be half a beer.
And you know that a good beer, bad movie night, we do not do half beers.
No, we're not monsters.
So I feel like I'm going to round up to one.
One beer. A courtesy beer.
A courtesy beer.
Okay.
I really liked it. I thought there was a lot to like about it. I agree that the third act drags a little bit and, you know, there could be some improvements there, but I liked the characters. I thought the set was really well done. The gross factor was not so gross. I did appreciate that John vomited off screen. So,
I forgot about that.
You know, he vomited below the height of the camera, which I appreciated. But yeah, I liked it.
That's a little all over the wear.
Yeah, it is all over the wear.
That's more all over the wear than we usually do, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 1, 0. Cool. I mean, that's...
I think I'm just go watch this movie.
Nobody hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody hated it.
Yeah.
Donna was on the cusp of hating it.
Yeah.
Yes. Which for a Twilight fan, I tend to question.
Right.
But be clear, Twilight's so bad, it's hilarious.
Yes. No,
and that's the problem I have with this movie, is for me personally, it wasn't bad enough to even be funny, like Single Santa seeking Mrs. Claus.
Wait a minute. Okay, if Twilight was so funny, then why did I feel so angry?
Because you're not in the spirit of the bad funniness of it.
So I was watching it wrong.
You were asking too many logical questions. Stop asking that shit.
And they were just questions.
It's fucking stupid. You just gotta lean into the stupid.
Which should be the tagline for this podcast. Good beer, bad movie
lean
night.
Lean into the stupid.
Which I don't do. I lean far, far away from the stupid.
That's a t-shirt. Okay. Check out our T Public website.
There are mom to do the something about the cricket.
Yeah. There are, speaking of t-shirts, there are fabulous Anna and the Apocalypse Steph t-shirts on Amazon where she's got the mannequin leg like over her shoulder.
The leg
funny. Damn it. I meant to mention that. I wondered if that was something of an allusion to A Christmas Story.
I wasn't sure.
Maybe. Had to have a little something. I mean, it I tied into where they were and they were all kind of picking up weapons.
There was a direct Bruce Campbell reference in the film.
Was there?
Early on in the film, they were looking at a social...
the social media?
Yeah, it was like Apocalypse Selfie or something like that.
Oh,
Evac.
Evac Selfie. Yes. That's what I referenced in my...
one of those said Ash Campbell.
Oh,
that's funny. I didn't see that.
At the very bottom, it wasn't Bruce's picture, but it said Ash Campbell. I'm like, yes. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I mean that's the ratings. I mean, yeah.
It sounds like kind of a recommend. Whatever.
Watch it. You might like it.
It's free on Tubi. You just have to hope that there's different commercials for you.
Tubi, AMC, Shudder.
Kathleen, how can people get a hold of us if our listener so wishes to contact us?
Well, Andy, dear listener. Anyone else who might be out there.
What about your cousin?
Greg. Yes.
Greg, yes.
Greg can always, Greg knows how to get a hold of me. You can email us at gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at Good Beer Bad Movie Night. We are on Instagram at Good Beer Bad Movie Night. And while our Twitter account still technically exists, that's only until I can remember what the password is to delete the account, because Twitter is a big poo show and I just don't feel like we need to be a part of it anymore. So.
Feces.
There you are.
And I also want to remind everyone that we are a proud member of the Give Me Back My Podcast Network. And please check out the other fantastic shows like Give Me Back My Action Movies, Give Me Back My Horror Movies, Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling. There is a theme going on here. The Monster Movie Stomp Down. And well, that's all we, and then of course us. So we're over there. You can find us on the Facebooks and the Instagrams. We still get tagged on Instagrams, and I don't even know what that means. So
I'll tell you a couple years from now when you're older.
So if we're, thank you very much.
And
so
sitting down.
If I've forgotten any of the shows on the network, please forgive me. I owe you a beer. That said, we have, well, January's coming up, right?
That's the rumor.
So, of course, every January the majority of the country decides to go through a New Year's resolution.
Do we though?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to watch a movie about a New Year's resolution. The fun part about this is that
we make our own resolutions.
What would a New Year's resolution for you be, Kathleen?
Quit this podcast.
No, that's not. Ouch, man. That's rough. No, like New Year's resolutions. What is a good New Year's resolution? What does America do on a New Year's resolution?
Quit this podcast. Eat more candy.
That's not it either.
I'd like to make it into the toilet more often.
Ew.
Wow. This is not going as fun as
I'm going through a lot of latex gloves.
I should.
Ew. Can I repeat? Quit this podcast. Yikes. What is happening over there?
No, damn it!
I am talking about poo.
Well, clearly,
really, it's a day that ends in Y.
No. The number one New Year's resolution in America, of course, is losing weight, joining a gym, getting in shape, having good health. So we're.
So I shouldn't start smoking?
No, you should not start. Please don't.
Drink more?
Depending upon where you are in life, maybe drink more is a good New Year's resolution. Of course, the number one New Year's resolution in America, of course, is joining a gym, losing weight, and getting in shape. So for January, this is on Tubi, we are going to watch Death Spa. It is a serial.
Wait, no, stop.
Yes.
Death Spa.
Spa of death.
With death.
Like cucumbers in your eyes and like the mud masks and spa.
Maybe
and
cucumbers
maybe,
in your eyes that are held there by ice
cucumbers
picks.
Seeping into your eyes. Yeah.
Death Spa. Okay.
Death
right.
Spa. It is right. It is on Tubi. It's
like acupuncture via Iron Maiden.
Oh, I like that a lot. Why isn't that a movie?
It sounds to me like it is a death spa.
So yes, in January we will be reviewing Death Spa. This will be a lot of fun. It's a really bad movie.
Yay! I'm so excited.
I'm pretty sure Troy's gonna love it. Dave is on the. Well, I don't know. He's on the fence.
I'll find a way.
Right. So anyway, thank you all very much for listening. We'll see you in January, and until next time.
Jesus, Chris, why would you even say that? Tay-Tay's fine.
3 Stop. Let's play the game. Whose fluids are in me? Potty smooches.
Hey.
That was supposed to not hit your face. It was supposed to hit you in the boobs.